Welcome back to the Roundtable. It's 11:13. I'm David Gesina, filling in for Joe Donahue today. And the Franklin D. Roosevelt Presidential Library Museum in Hyde Park, New York, is in the midst of their countdown to the public opening of the Roosevelt Library's new permanent museum exhibits, June 30th. These exhibits will tell the story of the Roosevelt presidency, beginning in the depths of the Great Depression and continuing through the New Deal years and World War II, with an emphasis on both Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt's relationship with the American people. Special interactives, immersive audio-visual theaters, and rarely seen artifacts will convey the dramatic story of the Roosevelt era as the Roosevelt Library brings a new deal to a new generation. To tell us more, we welcome Professor David Woolner, Marist College History Professor and Roosevelt Institute Fellow at Hyde Park, resident historian, and you'll remember him from Power of Words and some of the other WMC productions on Roosevelt. Also joining us, a great pleasure, Ann Roosevelt, chair of the Roosevelt Institute and Board and granddaughter of Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. We welcome both Professor Woolner and Ann Roosevelt. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, Joe.
Well, Professor Woolner, it is David today, not Joe, but just to correct you, but that you're used to hearing Joe Donahue here, but of course you and I know each other from your great work. You've done some programs with us, and you know, I notice here it's immersive audio-visual theaters, rarely seen artifacts and interactives. Professor Woolner, if you could, tell us about some of these things. What can we expect?
Well, David, my apologies.
No problem.
David, I should know that, given our mutual names.
Don't worry. I just want to make sure you knew.
We're very excited about the new exhibit. I just went through it the other day myself. It's rapidly coming to fruition, and we think it's going to bring the story of the Great Depression and the Second World War to life for a whole new generation of young Americans. It's very exciting. It's very dynamic. It has a lot of audiovisual and other wonderful features, and so it really brings that incredible story to life.
Well, and what are some of these artifacts?
Well, you've got everything from things like Einstein's letter to President Roosevelt, which launched the Manhattan Project. You have artifacts from the Second World War. You have exchanges of documents between Franklin Roosevelt and Winston Churchill, letters to the President and Mrs. Roosevelt, their correspondence. It's an amazing array of materials.
It certainly sounds like it. Ann Roosevelt, I want to welcome you to the program, of course, the granddaughter of FDR, chair of the Roosevelt Institute Board. And as a Roosevelt, what is it for you that's most important for you, for other folks, to know about your grandparents?
Well, David, it's so exciting to have these new exhibits open because it is in storytelling that we learn so much. And I feel like as a granddaughter, and actually I was born after my grandfather died, so I am part of a generation that learned much about that era from things like the library and the stories that are told there. I hope that a new generation of viewers and listeners and interactors will get a sense of what kind of leaders my grandparents were, what kind of decisions they made, and what their end game was, what they wanted for the American people, and how they lived that out in their own lives. Because I get a lot of young people come up to me and they say, they were so special. And my response to them is always, you know, they were just like you and me. They had the same opportunities you and I have to live out our values in ways that impact the public good.
You know, you mentioned values, and we were witness this year to an election, and at the Democratic National Convention, former President Bill Clinton stood up and made the statement that it's either we're all in this together or you're on your own. Is this the same sort of argument that has been playing out since FDR and before, Professor Woolner?
Absolutely. In fact, there is a quote from Roosevelt that Clinton was actually paraphrasing when he said that. FDR said at one point in the middle of the Great Depression, we're either going to all go up together or all go down together in terms of trying to revive the nation's economy. Well, you know, and Anne's absolutely right. Speaking of values and and the legacy of Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. You know, they were really the first two leaders to dedicate the government of the United States to the welfare of the people as a whole. You know, prior to the New Deal and prior to Roosevelt's assumption of office, there was very little contact between the American people and their government. Probably the post office was the one place that people ran into the federal government, and we now take it for granted that government has a role to play in our economy. We debate how much, very few people would want to take away things like Social Security and unemployment insurance or federal deposit insurance from the banks and these kinds of safeguards that Roosevelt put in during the course of the New Deal. So it's an enormously important era in our history, and Anne's absolutely right. We touch that era virtually every day, everything from bank transactions to Securities and Exchange Commission regulation of the stock market to federal housing authority. It just goes on and on and on. So the structure that we live in today was very much built during the New Deal.
Are young people still aware of FDR and what he's done?
Oh, David, this is Anne. I would
absolutely
tell you yes. And from my anecdotal experience, it's so interesting to me how many times young people will come up and tell me that they're reading a book that my grandmother wrote,
sure,
you know, 50, 60 years ago, and how much it means to them. And on top of that, we have, as part of the Roosevelt Institute, we have a campus network of young people on campuses across the country, over 10,000 students, who are doing local policy advocacy inspired by Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. So I think it's young people who are very much in tune with the message of Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt and the way they approached the relationship of government and the people.
Sure. And let's stick with Eleanor for a moment. Obviously, a strong person in her own right and had her own path and displayed great leadership. You know, how does that resonate with young people and especially young girls?
Well, Barry,
yeah, please, both
David,
of you.
You can speak. You have three wonderful daughters, so you can speak from personal experience.
Sure, go ahead, Professor.
Well, I was going to say that, and Anne certainly can add to this, that you know, Eleanor Roosevelt remains an inspiration to young people to this day. Her home at Valkill is enormously popular with the visiting public who come to Hyde Park. There are people that still read the many books that she wrote over the course of her long career as a writer and her wonderful newspaper columns and so forth. And, you know, I can speak from personal experience. My daughters and many of their friends still look to Eleanor Roosevelt as a role model of a woman who was very much engaged in trying to promote the kind of values that Anne spoke of and in trying to get involved with the political process to make sure that we live in the kind of society that we want to live in.
And not to
David,
mention,
I think it's...
Go ahead.
It's also their personal stories that remains of interest to so many people, including young people. For my grandmother, I think the touch point is really that she wasn't, she didn't come from an easy background. She may have had some means available to her, but she was extremely shy, and so she had to overcome a lot personally, and so young people can touch that kind of experience for themselves. And of course, with my grandfather's polio, you know, people can recognize this was not an easy life here. And so what did he do with it? And that fascinates people.
Yeah, you know, the polio is a really interesting subject, obviously, for a number of reasons. And, you know, we weren't witness to seeing him usually, you know, in a wheelchair. He was always up at the podium. I see a picture right on the front of your website, which is fdrlibrary.marist.edu, of him standing in front of a podium. And there was a certain amount of respect given to the president in that regard. But with the strides made with, you know, with folks who are disabled and can contribute to our society, he was an example of that, although at the time we didn't know it. Can you talk a little more about that and how that's incorporated into this opening?
Well, it's a very interesting question. you know, there is a sense, particularly today, that people didn't know that Franklin Roosevelt was disabled, but in fact they did know. Mm. The generation that lived with FDR did know. But Roosevelt tried to, in a sense, exert great energy and project himself a way that showed that he had, in a sense, recovered from the worst aspects of the disease, that he could function normally and so forth. So there was a general awareness. What people didn't realize was the extent to which he was disabled. They didn't realize that he really had to get help to getting out of bed in the morning.
Sure.
This was very much a part of his everyday life. And I think that there was there were questions in the newspaper in 1928 and again in 32 during the election. It was a public issue. Was he healthy enough to be president? So this was something out there. So he felt it was very important for him to project an image of energy and health. And there was a famous comment he made one time when he was being placed in a wheelchair out of a car with all the press around, and he said, "No pictures of me in the chair, boys." And that was pretty much it. The press just never took pictures of him in a wheelchair. And he used the wheelchair to get from point A to point B, but he didn't sit in a wheelchair. I think, you know, partly it was his own desire to not think about his disability and to try to remain healthy. He was a very vigorous man, swimming and so forth. But there was an awareness, and remember they had the birthday balls every January 30th to dance so others could walk. He was very much involved in raising
sure.
money through the March of Dimes searching for a cure, vaccination for polio. So, but what they didn't realize was just the extent, and when you find out the extent, you realize what an extraordinary man this was to go through the Great Depression and lead the country in World War II, to in effect lead a paralyzed nation in the 30s from a man who was himself virtually paralyzed. It's just extraordinary.
It certainly is, and he's certainly on the top of my list as presidents. But, Anne, we're going to leave one more question for you about just under a minute. But, you know, this exhibit's not only going to focus on Franklin and Eleanor, but the people surrounding him, like Margaret Daisy Suckling.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a little bit about more some of the folks, yeah.
Well, he was surrounded by, of course, a lot of people, some of whom were old friends, some of whom were people who he met and drew to him as people for their advice and their counsel. The thing that was important, I think, about the group that did gather around him was their diversity. He brought a much more diverse voice to government than had ever been seen before. He certainly loved his neighbors, both in Georgia and in Hyde Park, and relied on them. And both male and female were close to him and helped him live the kind of full and vigorous life that was required of the President of the United States during that period.
Well, you can check out the latest at www.fdrlibrary.marist.edu. It is the Franklin D. Roosevelt Presidential Library and Museum in Hyde Park, New York, and they are in the midst of their countdown to the public opening of the Roosevelt Library's new permanent museum exhibit on June 30th. And we've been speaking with Professor David Woolner, Marist College History Professor and Roosevelt Institute Fellow at Hyde Park, resident historian. Also joining us, Anne Roosevelt, Chair of the Roosevelt Institute Board and granddaughter of Franklin and Eleanor Roosevelt. To both of you, thank you so much. We'll catch up with you next month.
Thank you. We'll look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.